Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare, is going to have a big impact on government contractors. Key portions of Obamacare, now delayed until 2015, still bring with them a lot of unanswered questions. Now, as luck would have it, the Professional Services Council hosts a panel discussion with attorneys later this afternoon to discuss how government contractors will evaluate, bid, and perform on federal contracts. Alan Chavotkin is the Executive Vice President and Counsel for the Professional Services Council, joins us now with a preview. Alan, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so what will you be talking about? What will they be looking at, and how does the Affordable Care Act impact pricing and price evaluation decisions?
Well, the Affordable Care Act was not written with government contractors in mind, and so part of the effort for our program today is to link the issues around the Affordable Care Act, health care for individuals and employees, with the specific focus of the government contractors. There will be issues relating to allowable costs. There will be issues related to how to bid on future contracts when the Affordable Care Act comes into play. Companies are starting to bid now for work that will have to be performed after the effective date, and it's certainly unclear whether the government will allow modifications to those pricing rules after the Affordable Care Act goes into effect. So what we hope to do today is to continue the education for our member companies about the Affordable Care Act and its direct relationship to contractors, and hopefully inform some of the PSC's advocacy role as we get questions back from our members about the implications of the law.
So, Alan, what specifically, or do contractors have to do anything special under the Affordable Care Act that other companies do not?
No, there's no special rules for government contractors that are different from other businesses, Emily. However, the application of those rules in the government contract space could be different. For example, many companies are subject to the Service Contract Act. That's a unique federal law that requires companies to provide a minimum of funding for health and welfare benefits. The interpretations of the application of that under both Obamacare and the current law are significant, and navigating through that maze is an important consideration, important understanding for companies. So while the law applies to everybody if you're covered over more than 50 and all of those other thresholds, how those rules are applied in the government space is what we're going to be exploring.
And Alan, given that, and if you know it, how many of your members do not provide health insurance already for their employees? Do you have any idea?
I don't know the answer. My sense is that almost all of our member companies, regardless of size, provide some form of health care for their employees. The scope of that, of course, will depend on the nature of their business, the size of their business, and the competitive marketplace in which they work. The Affordable Care Act imposes some other requirements, some minimum thresholds for those in order to qualify or to be subject to what is called the play or pay requirements. And so, again, the companies will be evaluating the requirements of the Affordable Care Act and seeing how they relate to what their ongoing business is. Now, once they make that decision, if they are in this pay area rather than play arena, that decision has implications of the government contracts. Is that an allowable cost? Will the government reimburse those as a business expense in government contracts? Is it a penalty that is normally unallowable? And so these are some of the, while they're minutiae in the government contracts, they could amount to hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars for companies.
We're speaking with Alan Chavotkin. He's the Executive Vice President and Counsel at the Professional Services Council. And there's another issue, possibly, and that is there are disincentives for having full-time employees in the Affordable Care Act. So a lot of companies in the non-professional services sector are going to below 30-hour work weeks so that they don't have to do this. So I wonder if there could be restructuring of the time and materials type of contracts related to the people assigned to a contract under which that contractor is bidding.
We're beginning to hear some of that, Tom. Exactly right. That's one of those critical thresholds that's different than what we'd normally see under the Fair Labor Standards Act, which requires a 40-hour minimum It also begins to touch on whether employees are exempt or non-exempt from certain statutes. All of those become business decisions that companies will have to make, but every one of those has an impact on the government bidding, how you price future opportunities, how you gain access to the labor in order to perform. In the professional services world, as you well know, labor is the most important component of it. We perform through our people, and so you've got to still be balancing compliance with the Affordable Care Act and being able to attract and retain the kinds of workforce you need to perform on the government contracts.
And you said today's event would help you at the council and inform your advocacy. Have you taken any stance or have you talked to lawmakers about the Affordable Care Act? And do you want to change any part of this health care law?
Well, we've been supportive of taking the number of hours back up to 40 from 30, primarily because we're looking for consistency and uniformity. It's hard to create additional systems to track 30 hours or 29.5 hours, as some companies are considering. So we've been supportive of taking it back up to 40. Beyond that, we've not engaged either in the enactment of the law or in its ongoing work. We recognize that it has much broader implications. The Inform Our Advocacy position was really to how do we position ourselves to engage with the procurement communities, both on the Hill as well as in the executive branch, as they begin to formulate the rules and regulations and conduct the oversight.
All right, Alan, well, we'll have to check back with you later on to see what happens.
Emily, I'll welcome the opportunity.
And Alan Chavatkin is the Executive Vice President and Counsel for the Professional Services Council, and thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.